truth of that song, that no matter what, we are yours. Forever held by you in the strong bonds of the love of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray this morning that you would speak by your Spirit above all things. We pray that you would be exalted and your goodness would be on our hearts as we leave this place in a little while. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 1. We want to start out this morning with verses 1 and 2. Paul starts his letter to the Philippians this way. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Now, I know that this is a big stretch, but I want to ask you to do something a little different as we read through these verses this morning. This first part's a really big stretch. The second thing I'm going to ask you to do is not that big of a deal, but this first part is a huge stretch, and I understand that. I want you to hear these words this morning as me talking to you this morning. Try to think of me as a Paul or a Timothy wannabe. I mean a pitiful, not even close, wannabe. Okay, but try to put my name in there. I know it's hard to even put that in the same sentence with Paul or Timothy, but try to do that. And on a totally different level than those men, a servant of Jesus Christ. That phrase means a willing slave, a happy bond servant of Jesus, bound to Him by His love and grace to me. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Chad, a servant of Christ Jesus. To all God's people, verse 1 still, in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. That's y'all. So the second thing I want you to do is pretend that's y'all. Not so hard, right? Easy for you to pretend that you're God's people because you are. And so just hear this as if that's you. God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Crossroad. And by the way, you are a lot like the Philippian church. If there's one message that I've ever wanted you to get, it's boiled down in the base to the basics in the next verse, verse 2. Of everything I've ever preached in 17 years, if you get this, then I'm good. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ. This was supposed to happen later. I don't know where that came from. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, grace and peace are always ours in Jesus. Always. Grace and peace are always in the Father's heart towards us, towards you, because of Jesus. Do you get that? It doesn't matter when. It doesn't matter where. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with, what you're facing, what you've done, what you've not done. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are yours. If that's the only thing you ever get from me, then I'm good. And more than that, you're good. Because that's all you need to get. John Owen, the great Puritan, said this, "The greatest sorrow and burden you can lay on the Father, the greatest unkindness that you can do to God, is to not believe that He loves you." Do you know what the unpardonable sin is? It's that. The one sin God cannot pardon because you won't let Him pardon, if your heart's ever in this place, is choosing to refuse the work of His Spirit that is trying to convince you that He loves you more than anything in the world. That He is gracious towards you. That He will forgive you and make you His own. That is the one sin God cannot forgive because you won't let Him. Are you resting in the Father's love for you this morning? I want us to come to the Lord's table right now. You don't ever know, do you? I want you to have, before we talk more personally, I want you to have the love of God for you in Jesus Christ fresh on your mind and renewed in your hearts before we look at the rest of this passage. As we come to the table this morning, I want you to understand Jesus says to you, Jesus says to all who will rest in God's love proven through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and sealed in His resurrection from the dead, He says to you this morning, "This is My body broken for you." He says to you this morning, "This is My blood shed for you." He says to you, "It is finished, and I am alive. I am the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and I am your Savior. Remember Me and rest in Me." So come to the table this morning.
Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on a cross, that He might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, save now I see Him on Calvary.
all God's people said. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." We've been through many different seasons together, haven't we? Today, though, is a day for thankfulness, confidence, and prayerfulness. We're going to be back in Philippians chapter 1, picking it up in verse 3 in just a minute. Philippians, by the way, is Paul's happiest letter, if you're not familiar with that. Even though he most likely wrote this letter from house arrest in Caesarea Philippi, how could he be so happy while essentially imprisoned? The answer is, what brought him the happiness, what brought him joy, was God's gracious work in the church at Philippi. That's what brought joy to his heart. You'll remember from Acts chapter 16 that Paul had founded the church at Philippi. Paul had received the Macedonian call. You remember that? The dream he had, and someone was beckoning him to come over to Macedonia and preach to us, and so he went. And when he got there, he encountered a ladies' Bible study. There's always a ladies' Bible study. And if they're not having a Bible study, they're eating. And that's when the real trouble starts on Tuesdays, is when they get together to eat. Amen? Just kidding. But anyway, Lydia, they're there by the river, and what happens? Lydia hears Paul's words and is saved, her and her whole household. Well, word starts spreading around town. What happens next? Okay. You apparently only got the one thing that I wanted you to get in 17 years. What happened next? The famous story. Come on, guys. The Philippian jailer. Paul got thrown in jail. Paul and Silas, they go to jail. God works in the middle of the night in a jail. He frees them, miraculously. Their chains fall off. The jailer's about to kill himself. And Paul says, "No, don't do that. We've not gone anywhere. We've not escaped. We're here." And next thing you know, the Philippian jailer saved him and all his household. And a church is born. And the end of that chapter says they were meeting in Lydia's house. And Paul strengthened them before he left and went on to another place. And so this is the group to whom Paul writes. It's a group he knew personally. It's a group he loved. It's a group that he was excited about because they had continued from that day, as we'll talk about in a minute, right on through, to be faithful to the gospel. And that's why Paul could write his happiest letter while in prison, because of what God was doing there in Philippi. Philippians rings with joy and gratitude for the way that God is carrying forward His saving work among the Philippians and for the special bond that exists between Paul and his readers. I'm thankful that our relationship is much like what Paul shared with the Philippian church. The first thing I want to say to you this morning is this, out of Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, and also verses 7 through 8. I am thankful for you. Paul writes and he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you, which is and will continue to be, by the way, often. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." We're going to skip verse 6, come back to it in a minute. Verse 7, he says, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." God had given Paul a special love, a special joy in the Philippians and in who they were and how they were following Jesus and how they'd partnered together with him in the gospel for so many years. And God has given me a special joy and a special affection for you. You know, some of us, we've been partnering partners in spreading the good news about Christ for 17 years, like right now, this time of the year. It was in November, I think, in 1996 that I preached the trial sermon at Carthage Baptist Church before I became many of your pastors. Many of your, you know what I'm trying to say. And we've been friends. And we've become and will eternally remain family. You've allowed a young preacher boy to learn and grow into a pastor, hopefully, somewhat. This group, you've loved my family through many different seasons, haven't you? Many different seasons of life. Some really painful seasons, as well as some awfully sweet seasons. You've loved our family through church ugliness, heartbreak, career change. You've loved our family through Robin's cancer and years of chemo and its return. You've loved our family through her homegoing and our adjustment to that, and other career changes and other transitions of life. And you've loved our family through the growth of our family and our new family. And you're still loving us today in this season of transition. One of you posted something on Facebook this morning and it meant the world to me, and I appreciate it. There is no way that I can adequately express how much we love you and appreciate who you are as God's people, and who you are, most importantly, as partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you see, when it all is boiled down and when everything else fades away, and when time is no more, as precious as our friendship is, as precious as our family is, your partnership, our partnership in the gospel, that's what's going to last. And you know, that's really the secret to all the rest. It's really why we're family. It's really why we love each other so much, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am thankful for you. But the second thing I want to say to you today is I'm confident in God about you. Verse 6. Paul says to the church at large, understand this. He says this in the context that we've just read, as he's thanked God for them and their partnership in the gospel and all that they've done as a group together. We take verse 6 oftentimes and we apply it to our lives individually, to which it does apply. No, nothing wrong with that. Good hermeneutics, good interpretation, solid application of the Word of God when we do. When we say, God began a good work in me and He's going to finish that work. But Paul says this to a group of people, to a church family. And here's what he says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, God is infinitely committed to finishing what He started in you. In each and every one of you, yes, absolutely. But in you, as a church family. You see, your Father didn't just love you enough to send Jesus to die for you and then leave you to fend for yourself. He is not done with you. He will get each and every one of us home. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death. As the Scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced, Paul said, that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I don't know the details of God's will for you or me in the days ahead. But this I do know. All of the uncertainties of tomorrow cannot even begin to loosen your Father's strong and eternal grip of grace as He holds you tight. That I know. And that you can know. He's got you. And He won't ever let go. I'm confident in God about you. Thirdly and lastly this morning, I'm prayerful for you. In verses 9 through 11, Paul prays for the Philippians, and I can't improve on an inspired prayer, so I'll just use this for you. Is that all right? It's inspired. Good as it gets. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, for when He comes back, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. These three verses contain this equation that I think is on the next slide. Yes. Verse 9, he prays for growing love. And then he prays that that growing love would be added to growing righteousness in the lives of the Philippians. And in verse 11, at the very end, what he tells us is the result, the product, the sum of those two things in our lives as a body will be God's glory. Growing love plus growing righteousness will result in God's glory. That is what God has done and will continue to do in and through your lives, Crossroad family. One quick note on the second part of verse 9. It says he prays they'll grow in love more and more and that their love will abound. It says in knowledge and depth of insight. Where does such knowledge and depth of insight come from? God's Word, the Bible. Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 17, to the Father for you and for me. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word, Jesus said to the Father, your word is truth. It is your word that will sanctify them. Father, take the book and make them like you through the book, through the word of God. That means this book is infinitely important in your life. Always have the whole counsel of God preached here. Never settle for anything less. You've not had much of a preacher, but I've tried to preach it all and tell you all that the Scriptures teach. And have tried to put it together faithfully and distill it down to the basics, and that is the good news of Jesus Christ. If this book is about one thing, and it is, by the way, it's about Jesus. There's a lot from cover to cover. There's a lot of components, but they all point to this reality. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what this whole book is trying to make sure you and I get. Even the stuff in the Old Testament, it's all pointing to Him. God's glory, by the way, that's where we're trying to get back in that little equation we were looking at. That's the sum, that's the product of our love and righteousness as God's people. God's glory is always God's design and end goal in His church. That's why He made the church, is for His own glory. That's what He wants to see happen in His church, is Him be glorified. And that is always the result of God's grace in His church when a church rests in Jesus and makes it all about Him. God will be glorified when we do that, because you see, grace is all about Him. If you make it about anything else, anything less than grace, and by the way, everything else is less than grace. If you make it about anything less than grace, someone besides God will get glory. Because you will quickly slide into legalism, where we try to get glory, or as the old King James says, license, which is sin, where the devil gets glory in you because you're disobedient to God. I close with Paul's last words in this letter to the Philippians. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. There's nothing you need more. There's nothing I need more than for the grace of the Lord Jesus to be with the very core, at the very deepest level of who we are. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Jesus, it is all about You. It always has been. It always will be. Forgive us for times and moments when we've made it about us. Keep us from ever making it about us. Give us eyes to see how we make it about us and diminish Your grace, even in all of our church activity and service to You. Somehow, God, keep burning it in our hearts and minds. That it's about Christ. That He alone is worthy. That the gospel is at the end of the day what ultimately matters. And that if we don't end with the gospel, nothing else does matter. Father, I praise You and I thank You for this people. And we call each other family. In Jesus. And God, I thank You that I can have confidence this morning knowing that You're committed to this church family. You're committed to us each individually. You're committed to me far more than we could ever be committed to each other. And You're not going to stop till You're done. if you gave us your own son, you're not going to quit till you get us home. And you're going to help us get life right so you get glory. And we find our greatest happiness following you and serving you and loving others and laying our lives down so people can know Jesus. And Father, I pray for this people. That God, you would continue to grow their love for one another and for a lost world. That God's Word would give them more and more understanding in the days ahead. So that they could love bigger and better. Deeper and wider. And look more and more like Jesus so that you get glory. Father, I pray that they would do us the kindness of taking this prayer and praying it for us as well. Because it's our need. It's my need. Father, today, in Jesus, we're thankful and confident and prayerful. And we worship you. We pray, Father, that as we have lunch together, that you would just bless that time. And that, God, as we take one step at a time, not knowing what even a day from now holds, that we would step with confidence in our God, who's already written the story, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know the end from the beginning. You are the beginning and you are the end, Jesus. And may we walk in that confidence and in that hope and in that certainty and assurance that we could not be more loved by our Father than we are in Christ. Pray all these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.